Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, The End of the World. I've always been interested in end of the world movies for reasons that we may speculate about as we go along here. What is the appeal of the perennially popular apocalyptic movie, or post-apocalyptic for that matter? I have some theories, but for the purposes of our show today, it also happens that these end-of-the-world films have been accompanied by some great music over the years. Sometimes bombastic, sometimes ethereal, frequently haunting. Right now I'm in the middle of a two-year term with the Humanities Washington as part of their Speakers Bureau, which sends me around the state with a lecture, and the one I've opted for this time is a talk about end-of-the-world movies and how they seem to have predicted our response during our own unfolding disaster movie, the COVID-19 pandemic. So today we're going to play music suited for doomsday, and then for the trailer at the end of the show, we'll pick a song that repurposed a Beatles number for use in a terrific disaster picture. We'll begin in the post-apocalyptic realm here. Many of these scenarios focus on a group of survivors have to figure out what to do with what's left. One underappreciated gem in that genre comes from New Zealand. The Quiet Earth, released in 1985, focuses on three people who have no clue why they have survived the effect, as they call it, which has wiped out most of humanity. These kinds of stories require that the survivors, you know, build a life for themselves, perhaps plan a new society, have to go through the grieving process, and because these films, like so many science fiction films, are really commenting on their own era rather than the imagined future, it's interesting how many comment on race. Movies like Five, 1951, created by the radio dramatist Arch Obler, or The World, the Flesh, and the Devil, Harry Belafonte project. This is true of The Quiet Earth as well. One of the three survivors is a Maori, member of New Zealand's indigenous people. In this musical cue by John Charles, titled After the Effect, Part 2, the film climaxes mysteriously but soaringly, and midway through this piece, you'll hear the big sweeping theme.
Thank you.
That is music from the apocalyptic film The Quiet Earth, composed by John Charles, a New Zealander whose career pretty much stayed down under. That track, especially the way it begins to reach for something that sounds like either the end of everything or the beginning of a new world or something, is just exactly what end of the world music ought to sound like, it seems to me. To stick with the theme of lone survivors for a moment, let's go to some movies that share the same source novel, Richard Matheson's book, I Am Legend. It's been filmed officially three times. First time under the title The Last Man on Earth, 1964, with Vincent Price as the lonely human battling weird mutated vampire zombies. The music for that one is by two prolific practitioners of low-budget film composing, Paul Sawtell and Bert Schefter. Here's their alarming main title music for The Last Man on Earth. Very straightforward B-movie film composing there for The Last Man on Earth by Paul Sawtell and Bert Schefter, who together and separately churned out a lot of music for drive-in pictures and the like. That film is an interesting adaptation of a novel by Richard Matheson, great genre writer who did The Incredible Shrinking Man and many a Twilight Zone episode. The next version of his story was titled The Omega Man, from 1971, this time with Charlton Heston knocking around in a mostly uninhabited New York City. And the music by Ron Grainer is going to bring back the early 70s for you. Here's a little of The Omega Man. Thank you. Music from the post-apocalyptic film The Omega Man, composed by Ron Grainer, who had an interesting life, a musical child prodigy in his native Australia, seriously injured in World War II, then a pioneer in TV music in 1950s and 60s Britain, did some movie scores, but might be longest remembered for coming up with the theme music for the endless British TV series Doctor Who, which he originally composed in 1963. Well, there's one more movie adapted from the novel I Am Legend, and this one actually went out under that title. 2007 film with Will Smith as the last man alive. No one else alive to slap. You know, the Will Smith jokes kind of write themselves at this point. Anyway, this cue is by James Newton Howard, and it's titled, Can They Do That? Music from I Am Legend, composed by James Newton Howard, composer whose success in Hollywood is pretty enormous. His credits include The Dark Knight, The Hunger Games, The Bourne Trilogy, all kinds of things. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I am Robert Horton. We are talking today about music for doomsday films. I always thought that this Last Man on Earth scenario was appealing in a particular way that had to do with, I think, projecting a feeling of freedom. Yes, the situation is dire and it's terrible that humanity was wiped out, but the fantasy of, you know, what you would do if you had complete freedom over everything in the world is really sort of seductive. A different way of imagining the end of the world without needing much science fiction was the nuclear fallout setup, which was popular in the last half of the 20th century at the movies. Many such titles with that idea. One of the classiest examples was the 1959 film On the Beach, directed by Stanley Kramer from a best-selling novel, movie that went all the way. Mankind is doomed by fallout, and it's only a matter of time before the last survivors who are in Australia are overcome. The setting explains why the composer Ernest Gold incorporated the melody Waltzing Matilda into his score, as you will hear in this selection, the main title music from On the Beach. Music from On the Beach, composed by Ernest Gold. That was about a year before he won an Oscar for his pretty famous score for Exodus. So, you know, if you watch this movie, On the Beach, you will hear the melody of Waltzing Matilda many times in the music, maybe too many times. Although I have to admit, I find it effective, the use of sort of a jaunty melody, but with something haunting in it, sounding like the last gallant hum of the human race. In 1962, there was a B-movie version of the nuclear scenario, Panic in Year Zero! Exclamation point, directed by and starring Ray Milland, which is not a great movie, mind you, but one that is kind of interesting to watch as a snapshot of the atomic anxiety of that time. Music for the film, which kind of lets you know how to swing during a nuclear catastrophe, is by Les Baxter, a lounge music hero. Here's his theme from Panic in Year Zero. Music by Les Baxter there from the 1962 movie Panic in Year Zero, which has Ray Milland and his family, including Frankie Avalon, trying to ride out a nuclear war in a cave as societal norms break down all around them, a breakdown that Milland's patriarch is only too happy to participate in. Les Baxter is associated with the great lounge music era of the 50s and 60s, especially in the realm of exotica. And he scored some low-budget pictures during that time, including Roger Corman's horror movies and some beach party flicks. So, he's someone this show likes very much. We'll jump ahead a few years for another nuclear movie, this time the 1988 film Miracle Mile, a beloved cult classic that has, I think this is an irresistible hook. Regular guy Anthony Edwards is hanging around a Hollywood coffee shop in the wee hours one night when the payphone outside begins to ring, and the frantic person on the line tells him that the Russians have just launched the nukes, and he has about 90 minutes or so before they start landing. The writer-director Steve DeJarnatt, a native of Washington State, by the way, got Tangerine Dream to do one of their moody electronic scores for this nightmare situation. Here we're going to listen to an early series of cues titled Cigarette, Bird, Sleep. Music by Tangerine Dream for the 1988 film Miracle Mile, an example of the nuclear disaster subgenre and a very memorable sort of comic tragic example. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, talking today about music for end of the world films. Let's draw in the alien invasion premise here, and we will recall that thanks to a novel by H.G. Wells, humankind has faced a war of the worlds, an invasion by the Martians, at various times in our history, thanks to Orson Welles' radio version and a couple of prominent movie adaptations. Steven Spielberg shot the book in his 2005 adaptation, for which Spielberg said he was specifically drawn to explore the imagery of the September 11th attacks. Needless to say, the music for that one is by John Williams, Spielberg's regular composer. And in this prologue, you will hear Williams setting the stage. You'll also hear the voice of a narrator reading H.G. Wells' words, written in 1897, which still have the power to raise goose flesh.
No one would have believed in the early years of the 21st century that our world was being watched by intelligences greater than our own. That as men busied themselves about their various concerns, they observed and studied. The way a man with a microscope might scrutinize the creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacency, men went to and fro about the globe, confident of our empire over this world. Yet, across the gulf of space, intellects vast and cool and unsympathetic regarded our planet with envious eyes. And slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
That's prologue music from the 2005 version of The War of the Worlds, composed by John Williams, with narration spoken by Morgan Freeman. Not a difficult voice to recognize. One post-apocalyptic scenario of note from recent years is Snowpiercer, originally a graphic novel, then a movie, later a TV series. We're going to hear some music from the film version. Movie directed with great gusto by Bong Joon-ho, the Korean director of Parasite. You will recall that a climate disaster has plunged the Earth into a permanent sub-freezing state. The only survivor is a population of people on a never-stopping train, where the pre-disaster caste system has been recreated. The have-nots at the back of the train doing all the work, the haves at the front doing none of it. Music here is by Marco Beltrami, who's done a lot of work in genre pictures in the last 3 decades, with a cue called We Go Forward.
We'll be right back.
Music from Snowpiercer, composed by Marco Beltrami, a movie in which mankind has been reduced to the inhabitants of a train following a climate change screw-up. This is one of the many speculative apocalyptic films that make it clear the subject is not so much speculation, actually, but a commentary on the problems of the time in which the movie was made, something that is true of so many of these films. The end of the world theme allows for a good amount of contemporary social commentary. Bringing our theme back home into our present time from the perspective of COVID-19, why don't we hear from a couple of movies that depict pandemics? Well, listen to two cues here in a row. One from the 1995 film Outbreak, where an Ebola-like disease is an excuse for a thunderous action picture. Very large music by James Newton Howard. We just heard from him a little earlier with I Am Legend. And then the second cue is from Steven Soderbergh's 2011 film Contagion, which plays like a quasi-documentary and now looks like a warning that went completely unheeded by humans. Music in that case is by Cliff Martinez. Two music cues there from pandemic movies, from the soundtrack to Contagion. You just heard a cue titled It's Mutated composed by Cliff Martinez, one-time member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And before that, from Outbreak, a cue titled Movie Theater / Monkey in Woods. That's by James Newton Howard. The movie theater in question being a place where a guy sick with the contagion is spreading his illness all over the other patrons. In the early days of the pandemic, it was reported that people were watching Contagion in huge numbers. And it's true, this movie uncannily predicts certain aspects of our pandemic, including the tendency to ignore science in favor of crackpot internet theories and unproven remedies. Recently, I was giving that Humanities Washington talk that I mentioned earlier, the one about end of the world movies and how they prepared us for the pandemic. And we talk about Contagion, and I think we all agreed in the audience that if it was popular in the early days of COVID-19 to watch that movie, that kind of interest must surely have waned after we all got tired of waiting for this pandemic to end. Well, in that spirit, we'll talk about an end of the world title that does not specify the reason for civilization's collapse. The Road is a 2009 adaptation of the Cormac McCarthy novel, a saga of a father and son walking through the desolation. Starring Viggo Mortensen and Cody Smit McPhee, the boy who would grow up to star in The Power of the Dog. I wish I liked this movie a little bit more, but I do like the soundtrack, which is devised by the rock star Nick Cave and Warren Ellis. Their score gives a human touch and a sense of the past to this bleak vision. Music from The Road. That's a cue titled The Real Thing, composed by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis, who have done some very nice music for films in recent years. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, considering the music for movies about the end of the world. One of the biggest post-apocalyptic scores of recent memory is the 2015 film Mad Max Fury Road, a continuation of a series of Mad Max movies that began in the late 1970s. For this frequently hair-raising action film, the music is by the Dutch composer Tom Holkenborg, also known as Junkie XL. And here's a typical moment from that score, titled Escape. Thank you. Music from Mad Max Fury Road, composed by Tom Holkenborg, or his AKA nom de plume, Junkie XL, if you prefer. That means I can't use that as my own pseudonym, I guess. Have to think of something else. There's ideal music for the wasteland of the Mad Max pictures. Well, the despairing mood of many of these films is a world away from the broad slapstick of Adam McKay's 2021 disaster comedy, Don't Look Up, in which scientists Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence inform the world that a comet is going to hit the Earth in a few months, a fact that the world finds a way to deny and ignore. The music by Nicholas Britell is ingenious. Sometimes it's as wacky as the film itself, but much of the time it takes a rather sober approach, which I think creates a cool counterpoint to the overall comic tone. Here's a typical cue, this one called The End, with a question mark. This is music from Don't Look Up. Music from Don't Look Up, the multi-Oscar-nominated end-of-the-world comedy, and it does sound like things are ending there, maybe more with a whimper than a bang. The tone of that movie makes me think back to a classic nightmare comedy from the 1960s, one that ended with the hilarious sight of atomic bombs detonating all over the Earth. But before we get to that one for our send-off, there's the trailer music. And let's consider an excellent dystopian film of the 21st century here, Alfonso Cuarón's 2006 film Children of Men. For this story of a world in which the human population has lost the ability to procreate, Cuarón uses a diverse collection of songs that are like the last remnants of a certain culture that's dying out. Some of them are poignant, like a cover of Ruby Tuesday by the Italian composer Franco Battiato. And some of them are rousing, like John Lennon's song, Free to People. But here's a fine selection from that jukebox soundtrack. A Beatles song, Tomorrow Never Knows, somehow interpreted by the bluesman Junior Parker, the guy who wrote Mystery Train. It gets rid of the chaos of the Beatles version, but there's something eerie about it that maybe fits the idea of surrendering to the void.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not not dying. It is not dying. Lay down all thoughts, surrender to it is shining, it is shining, yet you may see the meaning of within. It is being. It is being. Love is all, and love is everyone. It is knowing. It is knowing. And ignorance and hate mourns the dead. It is believing. It is believing. But listen to the color of your dream. It is not leaving. It is not leaving. So play the game, existing to the end. Of the beginning, of the beginning, of the beginning.
Tomorrow Never Knows, written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, performed by Junior Parker in a version that turns up on the soundtrack of Children of Men. And so we round off our survey of music associated with end-of-the-world movies. We put forward a couple of theories about why people want to watch these movies, and I've also wondered whether they allow us the fantasy of both rehearsing our reactions to catastrophe, whether it's a planet colliding with us or just some more mundane life disaster, but also give us a chance to think about how we might do things differently next time, with a clean slate, after the mistakes we've made have led to the world ending. Starting over, but doing it right this time. We'll ride out now with a movie that does not stand for such hopeful theories, Stanley Kubrick's 1964 masterpiece Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, a comedy about the nuclear doomsday that will ensue when a rogue general starts World War III. After determining that a small slice of humanity will survive underground, the film ends with the bombs going off and also a song, a reassuring World War II anthem written by Ross Parker and Huey Charles and performed by Vera Lynn, used in the film with more than just a dash of bitter sarcasm. So always remember, even if it's the end of the world, we'll meet again. I'm Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.